Oh, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. My God is tremendous. Oh, when I'm in need, I call the Lord. Oh, and He hears me. Yes, He helps me. He is faithful and true. He won't forget His own. Oh, my companion. Oh, my best friend. The only true God. There's no one greater. Strength and fearless, He goes.
go to prayer with that on our lips. Brother Wes Nygaard, can I have you open up the service in a word of prayer? We have a prayer request from our brother Alan Keene. Please pray for Sister Margaret. She's at home battling the flu. Also, our brother Emmanuel writes here in our prayer request. Let's pray for our brother Mark and Sister Rachel Matul. They are both at home with chest conditions. Amen. And my dad, Brother Tom, is at home sick also with the flu. We just want to remember that need this evening. Amen. If you just have a need, just lift up before the Lord. Amen. By Wes.
Let's all bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, Lord God. Father, a day that we can gather around your word, Father. Hear the word for the hour, for the minute, Father, for the day. Lord God, to receive your word and then go out and put it into action, Lord. Father, what a wonderful Father you are. You have not forgotten us. You know each and every one of us. You know each and every one of our problems, Lord God. Father, there were issues that were penned down. There are hands that were raised up, Father. I don't remember each and every one of them, Lord God, but you do, Father. Lord, you never forget. You've never forgotten us. You know what our issues are. We just take and lay them at your feet. We put them into your hands and ask for healing where healing's needed, Lord God, asking for whatever the situation might be, Lord, and to let each and every one of those that are seeking a touch, Lord God, know that you are in control. You have everything under control, Lord God. Father, now we thank you for this day again, Lord, thanking you for this building, thanking you for this church, thanking you for our ministry, thanking you for our pastor, Brother Ed, just looking for asking for a special blessing upon Brother Ed and Sister Ruth, Lord God. We love them. We appreciate them so much, Lord. We thank you for the ministry that you've given us here. Lord, what a blessed ministry. We are a blessed people. Father, now we just ask that you would take control of the service, Lord God, that you would take control of whatever the speaker would have to say, Lord. And Father God, we know that you know what our needs are, and you're able to tailor make your word for each one of your sons and daughters that are here. May we receive everything you have for us this evening, asking, Lord God, that you just walk up and down each and every pew. Lord God, whisper in each and every ear. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
Seats. Just as our brother Murphy comes, could we sing Broken Chains? Can't be bound by broken chains. Amen. Amen. We want to greet those that are on the internet, phone hookups, those that are visiting with us. Amen. We trust that God be with you. Amen. That the presence that's here is in your home also. Amen. Let's just sing this, the journey that we travel. Amen.
The journey that we traveled is a winding, narrow road. And there are times we stumble neath a heavy load. Always there's a voice to tell you you'll never make it. White as snow. Still in your mind, the battle rages and threatens all you know. But even if you're pushed beyond where you feel you can't stand, just remember you can put your faith in God's unfailing. You made me.
can be bound by the broken chain. I want to say, how many can testify the chains has been broken? And in our own life, in our testimony, in our loved ones, in our family, and I can testify myself, the chain has been broken. And though devil can shake it at a chain, make it a tingle and sound, but it's only a bluff. Because it's not that I broke it, because nobody else has broke it, but Jesus Christ has broke the chain of a bondage. We're so thankful that we hear that a jubilee sounded in this last hour, then that the trumpet has sounded, and God has announced us that you're free. And how we're thankful for it, our Lord. And there's one old soldier, the chain was forever broken. And did it pass over down there? Our dear sister Laverne, and I think we have heard that during the camp. I'm so in love with our dear sister. I can always remember a lovely sister with a feeble hand sitting right over there and crying out to the Lord and lifted her hand and worshiped the Lord. And now she doesn't have a feeble hand anymore. She has that hand back to the young lad again. All the wrinkles are gone, all the feeble, frail, the body has gone, and she turned back to 18, 19, 20 years old. What a marvelous promise that we have. We don't have that promise. Where are we going to be? And so we're going to be just going here and then going there and don't know where we're coming from and don't know where we're going to. But we thank the Lord to give us that promise. And I always remember the sister that went always to pray for his, her family. And she's a faithful soldier. And we just want to remember her family, the loved one that also, and that everybody becoming to us to press to the battle. And so the reward is at the end of the road. May we just bow our head before we go to the scripture. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to give you thanks. Lord, we have so much things that we can thank for. And to know what we know and to believe what we have believed. And to witness that we're not what we used to be. And that a life of Jesus Christ, and which now living inside of us, has forever, permanently changed us. We can never be the same. Lord, sometimes even we look back to our old picture, we even wonder who that person is. Because it's such a drastic change. That the smoke is gone, the drinking is gone. Lord, that the short skirts is gone, that the makeups is gone, the earrings is gone, that everything is gone. What the devil has left at a trace, not even the trace that we can trace it back. But Lord, we give it all the glory to you because it's a transforming power that our dear Lord has given to us. So Lord, we know that a transforming power is not only just did it one time, but it's keep changing us, keep changing us. Lord, has left it of the world, completed it behind. Lord, we just pray that even tonight, as we're going to open up your word, Lord, a man has the ability to turn over to the pages, but it takes the Holy Spirit to open up your own word to us. Lord, we don't want a man speaking. We just want you to talk, Lord. Talk heart to heart to us, Lord. Speak to our heart. We want to hear from you. So, Lord, come to meet every need. Lord, we have a lot of a need among this body. But Lord, we have one need that above all need. Lord, we want to meet you, Lord. Lord, we are on this earth. We're fighting the battle. But it's for one purpose. It's that one day when all this be over, Lord, we can face to face with our Lord that we loved so much. Lord, it won't be a surprise to us because the word has made yourself so vividly before us. Lord, it won't be a shocking when we meet you because, Lord, you will be exactly as this word has talked about you. You will be exactly what is the preacher has been preached. The prophet has been expressed. You will be exactly the one that we've been looking for. Lord, as we on this earth, Lord, we pray that you give us the strength. Lord, that to press on until the one day, Lord, we'll meet you over there. Then everything will become, Lord, in such a reality. What we have been looking for, what we haven't been believing for, Lord, it will come to face to us. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand. May your spirit that has already moved on among us continue to move. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the scripture. 1 Kings chapter 18. Thank you for the musician. Thank you, Brother Anthony. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's read from a verse 44. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44. And it came to pass at a seventh time that he said, Behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with a cloud and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and run before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's turn to New Testament, Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not to myself, not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And a greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I remember years ago, Brother Ed said, preached at the service, and in the service it had mentioned one phrase was quite striking with me. And he said, we can never realize or recognize who we are till we recognize what we got. I don't want to start from this. Let me quote it, Brother Ed is speaking it again. We can never realize or recognize who we are till we recognize what we got. It's the what God has put it in our hand and make us realize who we are. He will never give something that he wouldn't have entrusted us and put it in our hand. He will never give it to us that it's something that we don't know how to use it and put it in our hand. Whenever God gives us certain things, he entrusted us to in our hand because he knows what we're going to use that for. And he know, and the message has said that the bride know what to use this word to do. And that's what the God had given into us. He gave it a message to us because he entrusted this to us. We know what we're going to use that for. The bride know what is the word can do. And that's how the God, that it is the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. What is in your hand? Because when you realize what is in your hand and you realize that the power of it and the faith become an automatic thing. Because you can entrust what God has put it in your hand. The word God has entrusted you. The message of this hour, God has put it in your hand. And when you have that, you know exactly what is that word going to do for you. And just a simple little faith that you have, you can make the devil flee. You can make the things that are in your life, and the word of God going to do the work by the faith that you have. So God has to constantly make the things that are in our hands, the word that he gave it to us, constantly become more real and more real and more positive and more positive, so that we can be assured that what he has given it to us has enough power and equivalent to anything the devil tried to put it before us. And in an event made clear by prophecy, Brother Branham said that God does his own choosing. By predestination, choose the prophet for every age. So notice it. He fixed the nature of that prophet to fit that age. So when God sent the prophet to us, he knew exactly what we need. And he sent the loser in the loser's age. Because that's the people that in that age, that's what they need. And justification is good enough for them. And justification is the only thing that they could receive. And anything more than that, God will give it to them, they wouldn't receive it. Because that's the age of in that time that it will be anointing that had been a message of that hour. So God knows, foreknow that long before he sent the loser out. And then he knows they're going to be having a group of people. And when the word in that hour come, and when he fixed it, Martin Luther, the certain manner he preached, the certain way that he was addressed to the word, and a certain the spirit that he had, he catering exactly was it the people for that age. And then when that Wesley's is that age come, and God has fixed it Wesley exactly the way that the people in that age that would need it. And anything more than that or anything less than that, that the people in that hour couldn't be able to receive it. And that when the Pentecost of the age come, and God has to fix the people in that age, and they know exactly, and God gave them the restoration of the gift, and anything less than that, or anything more than that, that the people, they cannot receive it. But in this age, God gives the prophet to us. He also chooses the prophet and then make it and fix the nature of the prophet to fit exactly to that age. Why? Because there is a group of the people, they cannot live on the loser's message. They cannot live on the Wesley's message. Though as good as they were, but it's not enough. So God sent, now though as good as they were, that the Pentecostal in the message, though as they have the gift of the restore, they have the healing, they have the miracles, they have the different signs and the different speaking in the tongue, but though as good as they were, but it's not enough for them. Because we're living in the bright age. This is the age that we run to the last lap. This is the age that we're going to finish this whole race. So God has to send it to the prophet, send it to the word, just exactly fit for you. You're sitting here because you're craving for something. And if God sent it a certain word, just a denomination, it doesn't satisfy your craving. You can go to the Lutheran church, or you can go to the Methodist church, or go to the different denomination, though as good as they are, but it wouldn't satisfy you. Amen. Though you might be as sinful just as the people in the world, and you might be as just as anybody that in the world that the people's have the certain nature or the character just exactly like the people in the world, and for the similar people that go to the certain church, they can be very easily satisfied and be satisfied and just keep on going what they have heard. But for you can never be satisfied. You can just go in there, just listen to the certain word. Maybe it'll give you the temporary satisfaction. But if you stay there long enough, something gonna in their heart. Is this all about? Is this all there is to it? Why? Because there is a different spirit in you. Because when God predestinated you to come in this age instead of other age, he predestinated a certain craving that is inside of you, and none other can satisfy you but only the word in this hour. And even when you come into the certain message church, then when you are sitting there, if God give you the certain level of a word, if God give you the certain abundant life that you must live that life out, then just to go to the church, just to call yourself a message believer, that wouldn't satisfy you. We're not done degrading the other people or whatever the people do, but God call you differently. I always said to the people, God can, during those times, God can put me in New Zealand. I think I shared my testimony. And I applied for to immigrate to New Zealand. But somehow when my brother handed his paper, he was approved. But when I sent in my paper in, and the immigration law of New Zealand changed. There are churches in there. I might be meet to the Lord there. I might be received in a message there. But God predestinated me to be here. Amen. Because there's something that only that I'm craving, and God put that craving in me, that only this church, this preaching from the pulpit here can satisfy me. Amen. And then Brother Bram said that he fit his style. Whatever he does, he fit him, whether he's educated or not educated, have fit the gifts, or the manner that he were preaching the gifts that he will have. He said, and the message for that certain age, God's predestinated a certain thing to happen, and there's not another thing can take his place. Care what it is, how many man-made achievements, nothing can take his place. He predestinated a man, maybe an ignorant man. He might have predestinated him another kind of a man. Whatever he is, he give him his class, his gift, to give him his nature, his style, and whatever it is, how he expresses himself, and whatever he does, he makes the man of the hour to catch the people of the hour. Right? He does it. And that's why I said that no matter what, if we have a certain craving in there, and God predestinated us, that none other can satisfy us. And if we were, if God preordained us to live in the Martin Luther's age, and there was a certain spirit in us, his preaching will satisfy us. But he said the preaching not satisfy us, because God himself in this hour is not just a whoever has a ear that can hear the Spirit said to the church. He gave it a personal message to this people that in this last hour. In every church and age, he said, to them that who has a ear to hear, let him hear the Spirit to say to the church. Let it to the Ephesian church. And then he said, to them that who has a ear, let him hear the Spirit that speak to the church. But when he come to this last age, when he called up John, he said, John, you come up here. Why? Because he got a personal message for us. He said, you go to take the book. And God gave us a message in this hour. He said, you come to take the book. This book specifically made for you. I send the seventh messenger in this hour specifically fitted for you. When it's sent to the loser's age, the people cannot handle it. It's too rich of food. When it's sent to the Wesley, it's too much of the food. As sanctified as they are, but they couldn't receive the word. If it's sent to the Pentecostal age, which is exactly the truth, he was in that Pentecostal church. But he can accept the healing. They can accept the discernment. They can accept all this, the rest of the signs and the wonders. But when a word preached, they couldn't accept it. Why? They are not made for that. But you are made for that. Don't let the people, they have the Spirit, they have the ear, they can hear it, but they will never understand it. Because this message in this hour is a message personally to each individual. And he said, you go to take the book. You eat the book. And then you prophesy at it again. God gave us a personal message to this hour, to this bride in this last age. But we must recognize what God has put it in us. Because if you don't recognize what God has given to you, you can look at it and just without, and just don't know the power of it. And it was like in, that's why the Lord in each, in this last age, in every stage, that he tried to make his word become more positive, to vindicate it and to prove it and to be the truth. And we can see when the third pole come, when the word start to manifest, start to vindicate it, it proved to us that in that word has enough power. And God has it proved to the prophet that him to go to the Colorado and to rebuke the storm, and the storm went back. What God is doing, he tried to prove the word has enough power. It's not just to try to show it off. But God tried to vindicate it. Because without a vindicated, it's not just a vindicated, there's a science, there's a wonder. But God tried to prove to us the word has enough power. And that he led to what happened in the prophet's life. And when he rebuked the storm passed it away. And I wanted to pray for his wife. And he said that I wanted his wife got to the tumor that in her womb. He said that I wanted it before the hand of the doctor touched it to her side, let the tumor be dissolved. And that's exactly what happened. Because if you believe and that what you have said, and it will come to pass of what you have said. If you can believe that the work that I do is that the greater that you shall do. And one had it right. Then when she was a hearing of the word, and then she said, this is nothing but the truth. And then the word that had come to in action that again. To do what? To prove to the people. To prove to the prophet that the word has enough power. There's no power can override it. No matter what situation that is, that word has enough power and to make it impossible become a possible. The word has enough power to heal the sickness. The word has enough power to let the wayward children right instantly, right in that moment. Thinking about it, what is the how hard sometimes we're thinking this thing is. Even we by our reasoning, God has to bypass that own will of that two boy. And a few minutes ago was jeering and a mocking that the prophet said, but just right in that moment, there's no sign, there's no intention to be repented. There's no intention whatsoever in that two boys' life said, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Not in one trace of it. But God had twisted her arm, said that this is the proof of my word and the power to do to you. If the word of the power had that power to do to the two children of the head and right, how much more than the same word that had the power now to give it to your hand and to put it in your heart, that you believe it, and now that you, when things seems impossible, when seems good, things are going wayward, so seems like the things is going backward instead of forward, but in a moment of a time, then when you said that the right word of the Lord, this is nothing but a truth. The word of God has said so. The word of God in my hand has the equivalent of power can overpower every demon. God is proving to us the word has enough of power to overpower every Satan's trick, to every device that he had. God has to honor his own word. When Elisha, when he was folded on a mantle and to smite the river of Jordan, the river of Jordan has stood open because that's Elijah's mantle. Though he said, Where is it a God of Elijah? Though maybe in his mind he couldn't understand, he couldn't see it. But that mantle was dropped in his hand. And I'll say the message of this hour has dropped in your hand. And when that message of an hour, when a mantle was dropping in Elijah's hand, when he used that same mantle to do the same work and to facing the same situation, to facing the same river of the Jordan, it doesn't matter if that mantle is in Elijah's hand or in Elisha's hand. But the word has to be, the word is the same. The power is the same. Though Elisha might not understand the fully of what is the word can do, but though he wondered, where is the God of Elijah? But when it smited the river of Jordan, that river of Jordan has stood open. And that the word that was at the end of the prophet, and now the word is in our hand. And when we're facing the situation, no matter what situation that we're facing, but the word is in your hand. It's not only that the prophet can handle the word, the bride can handle the word. It's not only that the minister can handle the word, you can handle the word. It doesn't take the high education of the people to handle the word, and the lower education can also handle the word. It's not just taking the husband that can handle the word, the wife can handle the word too. It's not that older people can handle the word, you young people can handle the word too. Because of God, by predestination, predestinated that word to put it in your hand. And by faith, you're believing it. You're facing a different situation, no matter what. But that word has a power. God has to honor that word. Simple little faith that you have, though as little as it can be. But if you're holding the word, you keep true to that word, God has to honor that word. The word has the equivalent of the power. Can do anything. in the greatest battle I ever fought. But Abraham said, how do you resist the devil? He said, in the same way our chief captain told us to do it. Take the word of a God. That's how you resist the devil. It's by the word of a God. We cannot recognize who we are until we recognize what's in our hand. When you know what's in your hand, then you know who you are. Because only the bride can handle the word. It's not the size of the face, how big you are, how super duper face that you can get yourself together. But God put that word in you. When he put that other word in you, that word has enough power. And Abraham said, he sees this attack. He said, watch, listen, close, it's closely. He said, his attack is what? Disbelieving God's word. That's his attack. He said, can you see the greatest battle that was ever fought? He said, there's only two forces, Satan and God. If we truly understand this, everything becomes simple. If it's not from the Lord, it's from the devil. There's no gray area. There's no, it might be God, it might be devil. No, there's no gray area there. Is it from the Lord or is it from the devil? If you cannot see this is absolutely from the Lord, then it's from the devil. Because in God, there's maybe, or it was almost close enough. There was no such a thing. God is not a God of a confusion. When there's something coming before you and make you confused, that's from the devil. Our life will be much easier if we recognize that. If the things that you couldn't do before the Lord, it's not from the Lord. If the things that you try to hide from the Lord, then it's not from the Lord. If our young people can understand that, then your life will become much easier. You don't have to just be confused and, what should I do? When you recognize what the devil is doing, when you recognize what is the God is doing, you make it clear and cut, and then you make a decision, Lord, should I go to the devil or I want to go to the Lord? And then when you realize that in your heart of the heart, you want to the Lord, then you give your heart to the Lord, then God will come on the scene and receive you. He said, and what is it, Satan's weapon against you? It's trying to get you to displace, to disbelieve your weapon. He disarm you. He said, listen real quiet now, listen. If he can get you to disbelieve your weapon, is equivalent. If he gets you to believe that your weapon is not strong enough, he has disarmed you. That's why God has to constantly to vindicate it to you. Your weapon is good enough. You don't need a psychology to put it on there. You don't need to try to get up your strength to try to do something new. The weapon is good enough. The word has enough power to overpower everything. You said it that simple? Just that simple. He said, look, he's disarm you when he gets you to disbelieve that weapon. That's all devil tried to do. He tried to make doubt. He tried to use the suspicious. He tried to use all kinds of things that are maybe on the internet or whatever. Try to say it about this message. Try to say it about, try to defame the prophet or all those kind of things. What they try to do? Try to disarm you. Try to make you disbelieve that what God has given you, the most powerful weapon. And there's no other things can God will give it to you. If he have anything more, can give it to you. This is the ultimate thing that God can ever do. Why there's no age coming? Because God cannot do anything more. This is an ultimate everything that God can give you in the time sphere. You understand? This is the only thing, the last thing, the ultimate thing that God can ever do that he give it to you. The time shall be no more. There's no time. In as far as the time elements are concerned, this is all God can do. how powerful weapon that the Lord has given it to us. As long as there is a time at which time shall be no more. But God said, I give you the ultimate weapon that you can ever have. Each message that you read is an ultimate weapon that you have. Each word that the prophet has preached, that's an ultimate weapon that you can have. That will end the war. Just by believing what he has said. But many times we make it as too complicated. He said, he disarm you when he gets you to disbelieve that weapon. When you lay that down, that finish your fight. You're done. Hold that weapon. Don't you lay it down. Why we become disbelieve the weapon in our hand? If you never use this weapon, you never know how powerful this weapon is. David had experience with the Lord. So when he had experience, when there was a bear to come to take this lamb away, he used a slingshot to kill the bear. And when the greater forces come, the lion came and to take one of his lamb, and he used the same slingshot and to kill the lion and take the lamb back. So he has proved the slingshot is working. It doesn't matter what size of the enemy. If you're the slingshot that you're faced to the word applied to the simple little matter, if that word work the first time, the next one, the same word will work too. You said, but this time the size is bigger. It doesn't matter the size. If the same word heal your cold, that same word, if you keep faith to believe it, don't let the devil disarm you. The devil said, well, yeah, it just automatically healed. No. I believe God, and he healed me. And then when cancer comes, there's a bigger size, but it doesn't matter the size. It's the same word. The same word to kill the flu is the same word to kill the cancer. The same word to drive your smoke away, you will be the same word driving the pornography away. If the same word drive your lust away, is it the same word would drive everything that in your life trying to hold you down away? If the same word that in your hand drive your temper away, if you apply to the same word, that's to have the equivalent of the power that overpower everything that the devil that it put in your hand. Put in your path. I think I shared that before. I was at a hard temper, a boy, when I was a little boy. I think I shared that when I was a little boy. I don't know this. I only know that I was a hot-headed. And one day there was a young man way older than me and beat me up. And I went back home and I picked up a kitchen knife and ran out. And if my mom doesn't hold me, I'll kill that person. And this is what my mom told me. Of course, I don't remember because I'm too hot-headed. I forgot about it. But you know, God changed it. How God changed it? By you are receiving the word. The word gradually changes you. It doesn't take like a lightning and a thunder and all of a sudden. It was just gradually when you take on the word, you slingshot, you kill one. And then you slingshot, you kill another. Then you slingshot, you kill the third one. Then before you know it, he said, hey, it worked. And then when Goliath come, and David said, I've been tried one, twice. And this one is way bigger than the lion, the way stronger than the bear. But it's the same word. If the word didn't work before, the work will work this time. If the work will work for the other children, the work will work for your children. If the word will work for my children, if the word will work for your children. If the word will work for his wife, her husband, and the word will work for your wife and your husband too. Because of the same equivalent of work. David said, I've tried it. That's the only thing I know anything about is this slingshot. And that's all a believer knows anything about. God don't want us to know anything else. You have to forgive me. I got sores in my tongue. So I'm constantly biting my tongue. So I'm kind of fumbling with my pronunciation. And they said, that's all a believer knows anything about is this little slingshot. God doesn't want us to know anything else, but only wants you to know this slingshot is good enough for you. He said, that God says so, and this is the old slingshot. I will trust it at any time against anything that devil can put up. He said, it's the word of God. He said that the word of God will run away, defeat Satan any place, any time, on any condition. If a man or woman would dare to take God at his word. Brother Tommy uses a quote on a Sunday. Actually, I was studying on Perfect Faith alongside with the greatest battle I ever fought. But it was this quote, it was so great. And when Brother Tom quoted that, I thought, my, this is a powerful, powerful quote. I need to reemphasize it again. Brother Bram said in the Perfect Faith, therefore, he relied upon what God has made him. Jesus. He relied on what God has made him. Many times we fight against what God has made us. Instead of rely on what God has made us. Because the reason we fight against what God made us is because we feel we're so inferior. That's right. We feel we're so, anyway. You understand what I'm trying to say. And then we said, oh, I done this wrong. My personality in this thing caused me trouble. I'm a person that very easily to get myself into a certain thing without even thoroughly check it up. Is there anybody like that? Don't raise up your hand. And then you're so easy to give it in yourself to a certain thing. Oh, I hate it. But you know, God made Peter that way. God made Peter, he was always the first one to try to speak. And he can miss and hit. And sometimes he says things are right, and sometimes he says things right, and he says things wrong. God never changed him, but God made him that way. But when he had the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit controls that personality. God never changes the personality, but God just changed it, and the Holy Spirit get in control. The controller changed. The master of it changed. He's not his own owner anymore, but there's another owner coming in that used what God has made him that become a benefit for the kingdom of God. He's still the first one to speak on the Pentecost. He's still the first one that God used as a speak person that make the gospel that preached to the three people. Jews, Gentiles, and the Samaritans. God never take that in the back. If we can rely on what God has made us and believe, Lord, not try to give ourselves an excuse, but Lord, I want to change my ownership. Murphy's not going to be the Murphy's owner anymore, but Lord, I want you to be my owner. And then the Holy Spirit will dwell inside of you. He will direct you into His own word. He will point you back to His message. He will point you back to what the word of God has said. And then the Holy Spirit will make the word become a reality. Then you subject yourself to the word. And then the word has enough power to use you to bring damage to the kingdom of Satan. He said he relied upon what God has made him. And then if he did that, then can we rely upon what God made us as believers? You know, we might have a many different personality. We might have a many different character, the way of doing things. But we all have one common thing. That's what we believe. You might be boisterous. You might be quiet. You might be emotional. You might be, your emotion might be like a steel, like iron. You may be just, every person was different. But there's one common thing. God made us as a believer. God wants us to keep whatever he made us personality-wise. But there's one thing common for all the believer, that they always believe the word of God. And we cannot do anything else but to believe his word. God has made it in the universe, and the universe never failed to run as what God has made it. No matter there's a black hole or this planet or that planet, but every planet, and they're just run as a coordinated as God has made them. There's not even one that was a missed their place. But if God made it us, if he made us a believer, forget about it as the flesh. He made us as a believer, that in our heart we believe the word. Isn't that God who made the universe to coordinate it together? Isn't that God when he made you as a believer, and he will make sure you will believe every word of God? A believer will believe every word of God. Now you try to get make yourself, pump yourself up to believe the word. It's nature. It's nature for a believer to believe every word of God said. When every word of God said, something just welded up inside of me and said, yes, Lord, that's the truth. Because he made you as a believer. You're not learned to be a believer. You're not pumping it up by the preacher, then you become a believer. God said, I made you a believer before the foundation of the world. That's why you believe. That's why you come to the church. That's why you say amen. That's why you raise up your hand. That's why you worship. There's something that inside of you that automatically says, Lord, I believe. Every word is the truth. We can't do anything else but to believe in his word. You cannot even control it. Because it's not you control it. It's the one that made you as a believer. He controls it, everything. So since he made you a believer, then you are sufficient to manifest what he's already made in you. Everything that you needed for this journey is all laid inside of you as a believer. So no matter what condition, no matter any time, but you can't help to be a believer. A believer can stumble. Yeah. They can fall. Even as a Peter, they can deny what he know about Jesus, but he can't disbelieve. They will always come back up. Judah, though he was amongst the disciples, but he would rather die than to repent. But believer, repent. Because we live in this body. But don't forget, God made me as a believer, not on this body. This body needs to be by the believer inside to make it under subjection. This is a territory. This is a believer. The believer controls, conquer, overcome the territory. You understand? But a believer, God has made it. Though we fall, though we made a stumble, but the inside of a believer, they can never disbelieve the word of a God. Even the person they go out to the world, even they died and they never repented, they'll never be a believer. They never in the beginning has ever believed in the truth of God. But even the believer, no matter how many times they fall, but they will get up every time. No matter how many times they made a mistake, but every time they put that mistake into the blood of Jesus Christ. This signs shall follow them that believe. He had a faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. You are a believer. It's not something we try to fetch from a far away. It's laid right in you. All you need to do is just yield yourself to it. When the word of God is preached, you yield yourself to it. He said, and there's nothing between you and God, and you can ask what you will, and know that it will be given, because it's the word that's given to you, just like it was to those disciples. And they said, the only thing you have to do then is have faith in what you are. Not have a faith in what you are in this, but have faith in what God has made you. He made you a believer to believe his word. Have faith in what the word says you are. Not have faith in what is your body says you are. Not in the faith of what the other people said you are. If you live on other people, if you just rest your faith on somebody else said, and then you will never have a faith. Because today people can praise you, tomorrow people can curse you. And so there, anyway. So you only rest your faith on what is the word of God has said about you. You want to look at what is the word of God said about you? In book of Hebrew, chapter 11, it said, and now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Those are the elders, which in the book of Hebrew, chapter 12, it said, we have the cloud of a witness, great cloud of a witness, compasses us about. So let us run that with the patience. So we must run. But when God said, I want you to run, but I want to give you the witness of a cloud to encourage you to run. It was like that you're the one that was running a race. But all those are the people that are witness that God has been used, they're almost on the along the roadside, said, come on, go on, you can do it. You can do it. You're the last one. You're the one that will run the last lap. Because all this witness has compassed at us. And that pressured us and encouraged us. So if I can do it, you can do it too. He said, through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God. So that thing which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know, I can put my name in there. And you can put your name in there too, Brother Phil. By faith, Philip, Enoch, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Baptists can do, than the Methodists can do, than the three selves can do, than anybody else can do. You know, it keep coming to my mind. The other day, I don't know if you remember. It was just a little clip. Somebody sent it to me. Actually, I was getting online. It was a name of the called Eric Musabani. Probably nobody remember this man. I think his name is called Eric Musabani or Mubazani. I think it's Musabani. He's a young man from Equatorial Guinea, and he's a swimmer, and he never know how to swim. So he go to some coach and help him to try to train him to swim. And he have nowhere to train himself, so he just in a little swimming pool in a hotel or somewhere. It was only about a 14 or 15 meter. It was a try to train him back and forth. And he was the only one that represented his country that had gone into a 2000 Sydney Olympic. And so he went into the Olympic to do the swimming. And when I look at him swimming, Brother Ken, I thought about you. I thought, Brother Ken, I'll swim this person. And how in the world he went to the Olympic. And he went in there, and the way he was swimming, it was just awful. I mean, I can swim better than him. And he was the only one that represented his country. Ecuador, Guinea, it was a little country in the West of Africa. And somehow he went into the Olympic. And he was in the one group, and there was three people there. They are trying to go into the qualification or whatever. So the three of them, they're going into the swim. And when he was, the beep sound, the other two, they made a fault start. So they jump earlier. So the other two was disqualified. And he's the only one. And so he was the only one that in that swimming pool. And the real race started. He jumped into there. And then later on, the interviewer interviewed him and said, "How'd you feel?" He said, "Pretty good." He said, "I'm the only one." He said, "Time doesn't matter." He said, "As long as I made it, as long as I finish it, I'll be the number one." And he was swimming in the first or 50. He never saw a 50-meter swimming pool. Because he was with all his effort, he was swimming. And he made it halfway. And when at last halfway, he was so tired. And later on, they said, "We noticed you were gasping for air." He was gasping for air. He was just swimming. I thought, this is so pathetic. This is called Olympic. And he was just gasping for air. But he was persistent. Finally, he made it. I think it's almost 2 minutes for 100 meter. The world record is 43 seconds. But he made it. And I'm thinking about it. You know what? Lord, this is so much like me. We're the only one that qualified. We're the only one that in this race. The Baptists, they got a false start, so they disqualified. The Methodists, they got a false start, they disqualified. Because they never start to believe in the message of this hour. They never give themselves to the prophet message in this hour. So they disqualify them. And it ends up, we are the only one that is swimming this race. Let us run. You are the only one that runs the race. All the rest of them, they're disqualified. You got no competitor. You got no rival. We are the one that run this holy race. It doesn't matter. You maybe feel pathetic. You maybe feel tired. You maybe feel so weak. But don't worry. Time doesn't matter. Time is on your end. Time is for you. You are the only one. As long as you finish it. God has disqualified all the rest of them. Amen. When a prophet came, when a Messiah came, when Brother Tom, when you preached, I was so happy for that. Oh God, that woman that in the well in the Samaria, she recognized it. Brother Bram said, all her black become white. Amen. He said, all the Pharisees, they're as religious as they can be, but because they never recognized the Messiah, all their white become black. They disqualify themselves. But thank God. And that a woman recognized and said, "This is the Messiah. Amen. This message, you must be a prophet." And he has told everything that I had ever done. And that the one that speak to you, that's to him. Amen. And we did the same thing. No matter how slow we started, but we started right. Amen. You started with the born again. You started with receiving the word in this hour. And you are the only one that in this whole race. He said, "What encouraged you?" He said, "All the people in the stadium. They look at me. He said, nobody mocking me. Nobody jeering at me. Everybody was applauding at me." He said, "Go ahead. Go ahead. We are here to encourage you. You're the only one. Take our time. Take our time. Don't worry about it. You're the only one. You're going to make it. It's not how fast you can run. Not how fast that you can swim. You just make it." Amen. You said, "I'm immature," but you can still make it. You said, I'm too young to do that. You can still make it. You said, I'm the least of the least that in all these people, but all the rest of them are disqualified because they never believed the word. But you believe the word. You're the only one that you will finish this race. As long as you finish, you will be the number one. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. I can identify with that. By faith, I offered the word that I have had. By faith, by the revelation, we offered a more excellent sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb in this hour. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. I can put my name in there. Can you put your name in there? By faith. Brother Darren, you will be translated that you should not see death. And you will not be found because God has translated me. You, for before your translation, you had this testimony that I pleased to God. He said, how much I pleased to God. You're so pleased, God, that he said, I'm pleased to dwell in you. Enoch walked with God. But this God, you're so pleased him. He said, I give you as my word. You receive me. You give me a place to dwell. He was so pleased in you. And he wanted to live inside of you. And he abided in you. Thus, we will go to the translation. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is. Do we believe he is? We never believe he was. We're not just believing he will be, but we believe he is. And that he is a rewarder to them that diligent seeking him. By faith, Noah, I can put my name in there too, Brother Ken, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with a fear. Do we move it with a fear? And prepared an ark to the saving of his household. We are not preparing an ark in us to say as it is made from the wood, but we prepared an ark by receiving the Holy Spirit, by applying the token, then we bring our whole household that into this token. Thus we can say by faith, Noah or Brother Alex or whoever that put our name in, all of this is speaking about you, it's speaking about me. We are in this faith. We are in this cloud of witness. And that if we live in that age, your name will be substitute all of that. Because they are the type and we are the antitype. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Have you obeyed? And went out not knowing whether he went. And how many we can see? We're not knowing where we're going to went. We're not knowing where we're going to go. And then the people from the colony, from the hotter eyes, the different, you got only the one shirt of you and leave the other place. And Brother Ricardo, you probably only got one suitcase with Marco. And come over here. Don't know what is waiting for you. But Abraham, by faith, that it was a call to go and don't know even where to go. And I thought of many of you that are coming from the U.S., different outer states, that are coming over here. You forsake your welfare. You forsake your house. You forsake the different things. You're making a sojourning with us right here. What is it? By faith. If Abraham was in there, your name will be put in there, Brother Wes. Your name will be put in there, Brother Gil. Every one of us, we can put our name in there. If there's a Hebrew of a cloud of a witness, we are the one that they were typing from. For he looked at a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was a past age. And because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I was thinking about even when we're in the helpless in the weakest state, that I don't know what to do and have no strength, but God put a seed in us. And we can deliver the life of a Christ that is through our womb of faith. Your name can be put in there. We can rely on what God has made us. He's never made us just as a just a mediocre person, but he made us as a believer. Brother Branham said the faith is designed to see what God wills and wants. And there is no knowledge that can do that. Faith alone is designed and give to the human race to find out what the will of God is. Faith is not just try to take the city to conquer, but faith is to find it at the will of the Lord. And when you find it at the will of the Lord, and you put your faith into it, and know it is God's will. It's God's will to heal you. Because he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is it God's will to heal? Absolutely. He asked another question. Is there no balm in Gilead? And he also said, beloved, I wish in the 3 John 1:2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. As long as your soul prospers, your health should be prospered too. Is that a will of the Lord to give you the health? Absolutely. That's the word of God. Don't get it too theologian. Don't get it too complicated. That's the word of God said. Recognize who you are, but recognize what God has put in your hand. That's the word that we can identify ourselves with. I need to wrap it up here. And God has put this great cloud of witness is right in front of us. And to turn for it, to encouraging for us. And I've just said it about all this figure that we saw that in Hebrew chapter 11. That I think about what about all the rest of all in this age? And God has a cloud of a witness that of William Branham, the prophet, that he has run the race. And was patient and then don't veer it off from left to right. And to do everything, even facing all the against and all the peoples, the mocking at him without a compromise. And he has to run the race. That's a part of the cloud of a witness. Then I'm thinking about in this hour. And the brother Billy Andrew. And then the man has to pass it on to his reward on the other side. That he has to run the race. He has to do everything he can to further the kingdom of God. He had to run the good race. And the peregrine and the different one. And God has to put them that in this cloud of a witness. And has been witnessing to us. And to churn us what to for. So that we can run too. Then the Bible said, let us run. Then I was thinking about Brother Ed. He has run that how many years? 50 years or 60 years. Oh, running that without turning, and preach the gospel and far and wide, almost every continent that he has been witnessing to. He has to run the race. He's going to be joining the cloud of witness. Though Brother Ed, he's going to become weaker, and he cannot preach anymore. But there was something still burning inside of him. And one day, out of the one there to see Brother Ed, and he is still witnessing in that building there, and all the older people. He would make sure that the people would hear the word in this hour. He said, Brother Murphy, I said, I've been sharing wisdom about the Bible has been printed. And then I was thinking, Lord, let me run. Lord, you have led us all. There's a cloud of a witness that surrounded us. But Lord, now it's my turn. I need to run. I cannot just let them run. I'm the one that's in this race too. And then when I'm coming home and there was something burning inside of me, we got to run this race, my brothers and my sisters. Forget about those as the patty doctrines. Forget about those as the patty problems. This is the time for us to run. You are the only one that in this race. Nobody else is in this race, but you are the one that in this race. And then when in the first king, that scripture that we just read, I preached that a little before. When Elijah, he asked the servant, he said, you go up to the mountain 7 times. And one of the 7th time, and one of the servant, and one up there, he saw the cloud in the shape of a man's hand. And then Elijah said, I heard the sound of the mountain ran. He's not only just to hear it, he make a preparation for it. He's not to make a preparation of it, he starts to act on it. This is the time for us not just looking for the hands shaping of the cloud, but this is the time for us to meet to the cloud. God doesn't give us the hand of a shape of a hand of a cloud in this age, but he gave it a shape of a head, the cloud in this age. When a head of the cloud of Jesus Christ, which is the profile of Jesus, it was representing that a supreme judge has come down. What is it for? The head wants to be united with the body. For what? Just for it to give us and said, yeah, you're good. Now you're free. No. Oh, now you're liberated. Now you can do whatever you want to. Now you're acquitted. You're not guilty anymore. It not just give us a good feeling. It not just said that you're acquitted. It not just said that you'll be setting free. When a head united with the body, you will transfer the power into the body. That's what it's a union for. When Elijah saw the hands shape of a cloud, then he said, I heard the sound of a bounding wind. Then Elijah started to run. Then he came down from the mountain. Then he started to, he said to the Ahab, he said, go prepare your chariot. He said, because I heard the sound of the thunder wind, and then the cloud come. Then the rain started, and then Ahab started driving to the chariot and to the run, driving all the way down to the Jezreel. You know how far is that? It's almost about 20 miles. And you know how fast that a chariot can go? About 35 to 40 miles an hour. But Elijah outrun him. That 80 years old, bald-headed Elijah. He outrun Ahab's chariot. I can imagine that old man, bald-headed man. And he said, I'm going to gird it up in my loin. Because this is my race. I cannot, that is Ahab, outrun me. Then he gird up his loin. You know, God never just pick him up and put him in the entrance. God can do that. He did that to Philip. But Elijah got something to do. And when Ahab is also running on a chariot, the Bible says that the hand of the Lord is on Elijah. I pray that the hand of the Lord to be upon us. It's the hand of the Lord when it was on Elijah. But God can pick him up or put him in his Israel. But God never do that. He just give him the strength so that he can run. It's not a God to push you through the pipe. That he doesn't do anything that just put you there. He let you. He said, my hands will be on you. But I will pick you up one day. But before I do that, you got to run. You got to gird up your loin. You have some work that you need to do. You have to go to the prayer meeting. You have to outrun Ahab. You will need to outrun the lukewarmness of this age. You need to outrun this other filthy worldliness that is in this age. You can outrun that in the last age when everybody said, just go to church and it's enough. It's not enough. I got to gird up my loin and start to run. Why? The hand of the Lord is on me. That's why we do the translation. That's why we do the Bible translation. And by the grace of God, we are almost a two-third way done to finish the audio translation of a referendum. In the last year alone, we have recorded almost more than 300 messages. Less than 10 months of time. That's almost one message each day from a Monday to Sunday. What is it? We got to run. God has a hand on us. This is the time for us to run. When God put it in hand, when the hand come down, when a cloud of a witness was a star to the surrounding us, and they tried to encourage us and telling us, it's telling us the one thing, it's time for us to run. Put lay aside all the sin that was besetting us. Lay aside all the things that are the petty little things. Everything become a petty little things when compared to the great reward that the Lord put at the end of the road. This is the time for us to want to unite with the head. Let us run, my brothers and my sisters. I was thinking of all the people that who had to do the translation. Brother Cobus. And the year after year, day after day, Sister Tusi. And a different one that it translated sentence by sentence. What is it? The hand of the Lord is on us. And now it is the time for us to run. And why you go on a Monday prayer meeting? Because the hand of the Lord is on us. That's why we run. That's why we pray. That's why we pray for our children. That's why we catch under the burden. Why? We're going to outrun that Ahab. We're going to outrun this little sin and age. And we pray. We're going to outrun the depression. We're going to outrun that unforgiveness. We're going to outrun anything that tried to bother us. Amen. Because the hand of the Lord is on us. Amen. This is the time for us to run. Amen. We have one that needs to be healed. We need to run. Amen. And we will outrun the sickness. Amen. We will outrun the cancer. We will outrun the crippling. Amen. We will outrun the blindness. Amen. The hand of the Lord is on us. Amen. This is the time for us to run. It's a time for us to run, Brother Darren. This is not the time to finish. This is not a time to finish yet until the finishing line is up here. This is a time for us to run. But God will give you the strength. Not just to let you run, not just to let you walk, but to give you the strength that will let you run faster than what is the age that the devils have tried to put as a device, that the devils put as a temptation. You will outrun every one of them. And don't just run and keep on running. Don't stop. Let a musician come. I thought, well, but Abraham said in the greatest battle I ever fought, he said, don't stop at all. When God sink his word in your heart, just take that sword and started chopping and then cutting. He said, if the devil says, hey, you know what you are feeling? Don't even speak to him. Just keep going. The devil, you know, the devil say, but you know what? You know so-and-so. And when they got Holy Ghost, they remember they almost lost their mind. Don't even speak to him. Just keep on going. You don't know about a so-and-so. It's you and God. You know, God never just make the thing his word like it's complicated. God give us the power that in this hour, so that we can outrun anything that is the devil that has tried to put it before us. You're an overcomer and a conqueror of anything that the devil tried to drag you down. It said that Satan's army brings the disease, and God's army is commissioned to cast them out. Every time Satan throws any arm onto you, God's army, it's to cast them out. You know, many times we make it complicated. The prophet never intended to make this to become complicated. You only got one technique. that it's cast them out. If you have a habit, we think, oh, I'll deal with it. You never deal with it until you cast that demon out. If you're constantly doing things that you don't want to do, that means that there's a demon possessed on you. There's a demon that was got hold of you, wouldn't let you go. If there's something bothers you, bugging that at you, and you wouldn't get a release, it's not how much teaching you can get. It's not how much preaching that you can get. Is that just something we try to give you to counseling? You got a demon on you. Let's face it. That's that simple. If there's something that's on you, I give you an example. Brother Bram talking about a little girl, Nellie. And he was used to be a dancer. And then he was glorified gloriously and got saved. And then one day she was on a dancing hall again on the outside, and then the music started tingling in her ear. And she said, well, maybe I'll just go in there to witness to them. And before you know it, and he was in some boy's arm and started dancing. And then she was running out of there, and she was crying, pounding at the door, Brother Bill, Brother Bill. And Brother Branham opened up the door, and then Natalie came in and said, I lost it, what's happened? And she related it to him about what's happened. You know what Brother Branham said? Brother Bram never just called him down to sit down and said, hey, let me give you a counseling. He never even just said, well, that's a hold a prayer meeting. He never even just say anything, well, maybe you should go back to read this message I preached, the false anointing of one and an end time. You know what Brother Bram would do? I thought, well, I don't know too much about the Bible, but I believe Jesus says this, in my name they shall cast out devils. Is that simple? If something that got a hold of our young people wouldn't let them go, they had a demon on them. If another person had a certain spirit on them, they just cannot get it. There's a demon on them. You say, I've been in a mess for 20 years, so there's a demon on you. It doesn't matter how long you are, there's a demon on you. Face it. Counseling doesn't do the work. Just reading a message doesn't do the work. You got to realize that the one that's in you is greater than the one that is in the world. But before that, you got to realize there's a demon on you. When you realize that, and then you realize that the one that's in you is greater than the one that is on the outside. Don't just call Brother Tom, call Brother Tim. Give me some counseling. You deal with it. And so I said, now, devil, I don't know who you are. But I'm telling you now, this is my sister. And you ain't got no business withholding her. And she didn't mean to do that. She just stopped for a minute. I said, but you're going to have to come out of her. You hear me? Is that simple? If there is something that was got hold of you, couldn't get over, you don't need a counsel. Let me infer you again. You need to cast that demon out of you. And not that the pastor do it, you do it. You do it. You got enough power that laid in you. You got equivalent of the power that lays in you can cast out every demon. But you must face it. Is that some of the mental problem? Is that some psychology problem? Is that something, oh, just the little things? Is it a demon on you? When you realize that, then you cast him out. Amen. He said, and so help me, God, at a judgment bar. That screen door began to open and pumpity, pumpity, pumpity. I saw Bill. She said, Bill, look at her. Look at here. Look at there. I said, yeah, what is that? And she said, I don't know. I said, and neither do I. And the door went pumpity, pumpity. I thought, what's the matter here? What's the matter? I look again like that. I said, leave her, Satan. In Jesus' name, come out of her. He said, and when I said that, it looked like a great big bat. About this long, rose up from behind her with long hair hanging down out of his wing and out of his hand like that. When I read that, I thought, if a girl just went into the dancing hall, just in a few minutes in the boy's arm, without committing adultery. Just in the dancing hall for a few minutes. That big bat, devil, came on her. How many devils has been attached on you? Just by the things that you watch. Just by the things that you think. And you give yourself to it. How many devils has been attached himself on you? Maybe just some salt. But Abraham said, that salt, you don't have to accept it. He can fly on you, but you don't have to accept it. But you, when you dwell on it, when you work on it, when you let him work on it, you open up every channel, then that thought it into you, then become yours. That demon got a hold of you. What you need to do, it's not a counseling. What you need to do, let the one that is already in you and start from the inside out, clean out every channel. Push them out. You have the power. If you want to do it, you can do it. And that devil, just by the simple word that the prophet said, and he cast him out. Will you do it? Let's bow our head. Have you been bothered? Have you been attached or bound, chin down, by a different kind of spirit? I'm not saying you're not a believer. You're a believer. God made you a believer. But a channel has been blocked. The preaching of the word cannot take effect on you. You're still a believer, but a channel has been blocked. You never went to the dancing hall, but you went somewhere way worse than the dancing hall. Your mind has went to different places. Your body might not have went there, but your body, your mind, your brain, the thought, your spirit, the sense, as a way into the place that you should never visit. And then you lost your joy. You lost your peace. And the word seems like just on the duck's back. And it wouldn't take a hold. I wonder if there any one of you, just as everyone bowed their head, you want to raise up your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Not only just forgive me, but Lord, there is a one that is in me is greater than the one that is in the world. I don't need a Brother Murphy to cast that demon out of you. I don't need a Brother Tom try to cast that demon out of me. Lord, I'm going to do the work. The hand of the Lord on Elijah, that same hand is on me now. I'm going to outrun this devil has bogged me down. I'm going to outrun this demon power. It tried to holding me. I'm going to outrun every one of them. Let us, every one of us, stand. Just continue to bow your head. Just continue before the presence of God. He said, I need somebody to pump me out, but you don't need anybody to pump you out. You don't need any songs or things to try to bring your tears out. You just need to mean business. Said, I'm getting enough. I'm getting long enough to be held down by that devil. That devil with the depression. That devil with the things that has been holding me down months after months, year after year, and it wouldn't let me go. And I wouldn't get it released. I tried. Time after time, he bring me back. But you know what? If you mean business with God, that same power that a hand in the hands of the prophet, that same power is right in you now. But dear Heavenly Father, you know the honest of the heart of the people, Lord. Lord, I hope that the people, they raise their hand, or even that the people that feel so shame that they're not to lift their hand. Lord, I pray for every one of them, Lord. The devil has got a hold of them, Lord. Lord, we might as well just mean business. Just face it, Lord. It's not something little things. But Lord, you made us as a believer. You said, you anointed me with the Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor. And you have also said that you give us the power to cast out demons. Lord, the prophet had never given a counseling series or this and that, but he just said, Satan, come out of her. Lord, time after time, when I was recording, I hear that the prophet is just with a monolith tone, but he know what he's talking about. Oh God, the same message will make us know what we're talking about. Lord, with a sincerity that in our heart, with the sincerity that in our heart that we believe the word. Lord, with the faith to believe every word to be the truth. Lord, we rebuke every demon that got a hold of your child, Lord. We rebuke it, every demon that tried to hold them down. Lord, they might come in at a different shape, Lord. They might come in a different manner, different way. But Lord, they're all demons, Lord. Lord, some demons are the wizard of social media. Some demons, Lord, are with the lust. Some demons are with the depression. And some demons with the epilepsy, Lord. And that the prophet even described it, and they're like a tortoise with the wrong leg. But Lord, if we ever go to another realm of the spirit realm, Lord, we'll be scared to death, Lord. Lord, we realize how serious that is. The demon tried to whitewash it and try to make it just like, oh, it's not heard. It's just something. But Lord, that's the demon got a hold of your children, wouldn't let them go. But Lord, the word has been preached, Lord. The message has been preached. Whoever heard of your word, your prophet has to speak to the time after time. Lord, we mean business with them. So Father, Lord, I pray not only for themselves, but Lord, I pray for myself too, Lord. Lord, if there's any lacking in me, Lord, if there's anything that I've done wrong, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Lord, I cast out a demon. I invited them, I will cast them out. Lord, these people, if they invited them in, they will need to cast them out. Lord, because we don't want the demons just come out by their own will, that are coming back on their own will. We want to expose them and cast them out so they're not coming out by their will, so they cannot come back by their own will. Lord, Lord, I pray you, Lord, you that are the faith, that in the people rise it up. Lord, that tonight it be the night that your children be free from all the bondage of the Satan, no matter what way they come. And I pray it in Jesus' name, and I declare it in Jesus' name. You can't be bound by the broken chain. Oh Jesus, we believe your word has said so. Lord, you give us an authority to cast out every demon. So Lord, we thank you, and we believe you. We commit ourselves into your hand. And we know your word is the truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, let's sing this song. Will you just play?
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Another one that will cast out the demon in the history, in the Bible time, let him be the same one that will cast out everything that has been buckled you down. Let's believe it together. Amen. To get a soldier, the Holy Spirit placed as a battlefront that takes God's word. He is the word, and he stands there. There's nothing going to stop them. Every one of the other channel is cleared it out. That's what's the matter with so many blown up Christians, is because that they don't clean the channels out. They don't go down to the inside. You got to clean it. Conscience, memory, thoughts, laying aside everything and coming from the inside out without an adulterated word of God that is the truth. Have you done that work? You just gone into the inside of the inside. It's not from the outside in. But to realize that there's a one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. And from that, that'll be a starting point. And when you yield yourself to it, it will blow every blockage that Satan has tried to put it in there. I pray that the Lord will bless every one of you. I know you need to go, so maybe we just leave it quietly. If you need to linger, and you can sit at your seat, or coming up to the altar, or whatever you want to do, let's mean business to God. It doesn't take a whole lot of outside to do it. It just takes you that mean business to God, and God will do the rest of the work. But you have to let the channel, to let him to clean it all out. May the Lord bless every one of you. God bless you.
Thank you.